Yes.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. Our guest today is a well-known attorney in the film industry, Hal Corky Kessler, from Deutsch, Levy & Engel of Chicago. Corky regularly speaks on the business and legal aspects of feature film development, including tax incentives. He has participated in seminars and conducted speaking engagements throughout the United States and Canada on legal issues impacting the entertainment industry. He has been a leader, a speaker for many years at various film festivals throughout the country, including Toronto and Sundance Film Festivals. Carol Corky is a donor to your grants, right?
Oh, yes, Claire. He's a generous donor, and he's my personal attorney. So, Corky, we're so happy to have you, and we know you just came back from a famous film festival, so would you tell us what happened and what you were doing there?
Claire and Carol, I want to tell you, you're providing an unbelievable value service to the people that are hearing this now or will pick it up later. Without people like you or From the Heart Foundation that, Carol, you run, these people would not have the information that they need, because lawyers do not necessarily want to tell their clients these things because they'd like their clients to pay for this information.
Thank you, Corky.
So I speak at film festivals. I'm going to be speaking on three panels at the Toronto Film Festival September 7th, 8th, and 9th, 2012, and they will be on Bloomberg International Television, so people can find out, if they contact you, when those are going to air. And I'm also a featured speaker during the Sundance Film Festival, and I put it on a major panel there, and it's going to be a great event in 2013.
Corky, that's become a must, cannot miss event. So tell us about that Sundance, and because you give a grant away too, or you give somebody somebody wins something at your seminar, right?
Yes, it'll be the first time. 2013, we have a panel that has been really recognized as the best panel ever during Sundance. It's not a Sundance panel, but it's during Sundance. So on Monday, January 21st in Park City at Sundance, all day, we have a panel that's 3 hours, which has funding, distribution, casting, has insurance, has marketing, has line producing, has distribution, has attorney, has accountant. We could greenlight any movie. That's our panel. And at the end of the 3 hours of the panel in 2013, Claire and Carol, we are going to go into one-on-one round tables where people could come and pitch us and tell us what their projects are. And that'll be all afternoon. And then at the end of the afternoon, what I call speed dating session, we're all going to get together and decide who gets a development grant of minimally $2,500.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Wow, that's impressive.
So that's what we're doing during Sundance, January 21st, 2013. And parenthetically, I'm leading a small industry group of only 12 people, although I have only one space left, to go to China October 13th to the 20th to meet funding sources for co-productions and distribution companies and casting and everyone who's involved in the independent film business in China, as well as speaking at the Beijing International Film Academy.
Oh, Karki, what a great opportunity. Tell us something about the Chinese market. What's going on over there?
China has co-productions with the United States. So if you've got a film that that involves China, post-production, acting, or any other thing, and it's a good market for China,
yeah,
or for independent film business, China is funding and co-production funding so many films now. In fact, a lady from Beijing is coming to Toronto to be on my panel on September 9th. Ping Zhang is her name, and she's responsible for $50 million or more of co-productions.
Oh, my gosh. That ought to wake up a few filmmakers. That's brilliant.
Yes, yeah, so that's why I was asked to lead this group to China, October 13th to the 20th, by a company called called Academic Services, and that has me lead this group.
So what city do you go to?
We go to Beijing. That's it.
That's it. And that's really the heart of the filmmaking center at the moment?
Yes, and I was the only lawyer last April that was asked to come from the United States to speak at the Beijing Film Festival.
Incredible. What an honor, Karki. So now you're going back, so and you have friends here. And the Chinese only want to work with people they know, they like, and they trust.
Well, that's Carol, you are exactly correct. People say to me, well, how can I get business in China? I tell them, look, this trip is a networking trip. You're not going to get business done in China. They need exactly what you said, to know you, to trust your team. It's a virtual trust, country. They have to really, really trust you, and it's not a five-minute deal.
Right. It's long-term. They want to invest in you. They want to know who you are and how much integrity do you have.
Correct. And not every movie is a co-production. The movie has to fit within the parameters of China and the United States.
Right. Well, it's just another new brilliant avenue for us. So, good. Well, we have to talk to you when you come back and tell us what's new after that.
Yeah. I mean, that'll be great. Let's go on, Carol. I know you got a lot of questions, and we're limited for time, so I'd like you to ask me the questions that you really want to ask me about funding issues.
Okay. Well, first of all, it's the new Jobs Act that was signed into law in the spring of this year. And so could you just start at the beginning and tell us what it's all about?
I will be very pleased, Carol, to really do that. On April 5th of 2012, the president signed into law what's called the Jump Start Act. Jump as in you're jumping. It's the Jump Start Act of 2012. And it has two sections. It has a crowdfunding section, and it has a new business section. So let me talk to you just very briefly about crowdfunding. It's not like Kickstarter or Indiegogo where you get grants or donations or, Carol, your organization. It's an investment. So if you have a private placement memorandum drafted and your LLC documents drafted, and you only are going to go after up to $1 million. On rare occasion, you go up to two, but it's only for up to $1 million. You can go after, for the first time ever under the SEC, you can publicly solicit, market, and advertise your investment documents and your investment opportunities, which in the history of the SEC you could never do before. But under the crowdfunding, because you can go after unaccredited investors, which are not the sophisticated ones, and accredited investors, they make you get the money through an SEC-approved portal, a company that's registered with the SEC, and they are now setting up those now. So you've got a cost, because any portal is going to charge you to administer that money. So I usually don't deal in that, although I will, and I've been applying the New Business Act more for a lot of my clients. If you have a PPM and an LLC, and you're only going after accredited investors, which I believe in the sense of movie or television, you should only go after those accredited investors. So if you're only going after accredited investors and you have your PPM and your LLC, you can take the money in yourself. You do not need a portal, and there's no dollar limit beyond which you have to be concerned. It could be $100 million, $50 million, $2 million, $8 million, and you're only going after accredited investors. And you can publicly, again, publicly, for the first time ever in the SEC, publicly solicit, market, and advertise your investment documents and your investment opportunities. And any state in the United States, like Illinois does, and several other states, maybe California does, any state that prohibits public solicitation, marketing, and advertising, the federal act trumps it. States do now allow it. So I'm speaking about this, parenthetically, at the DGA in Los Angeles, to DGA members on the night of October 1st of this year. So soon, I will be speaking to the DGA about this. So that's the essence of the Jumpstart Act. And it's a great vehicle. You could put your investment documents online, social marketing. You could put it in the newspaper. You could put it in, you could do it anything you want. You don't need to go through brokers to get your money.
Okay, so the, these trailers that filmmakers are always making, they can now put their trailer on YouTube and put a link to their trailer and just sell it.
And they can put their trailer on YouTube, and they can go to the, they can have the investment documents, a link to the investment documents. You don't need to even worry about it.
Oh, my gosh, how wonderful. So everything can be online practically.
That's the name of that game. And so I've been creating the PPMs and the LLCs for a lot of my clients to begin to publicly advertise and market and solicit and get money for their films.
Okay. So now this is the Jumpstart, and it's different than the New Business Act. That was signed in at the same time, right?
No. The Jumpstart Act has two components. The new business part is part of it, as well as crowdfunding is part of it.
Okay.
So they're not two separate acts. They're all under the Jumpstart Act of 2012.
And the New Business Act is for entrepreneurs who want to start a new business, right?
Correct. It's not just film or television. It could be for real estate. It's any new business that's formed.
Okay, so that's beneficial.
It could be a restaurant. Any new business that wants to raise capital that has a PPM and an LLC.
Right. A PPM and an LLC. All right, so would just explain those two things briefly for our listeners, just in case they don't know.
A PPM is a private placement memorandum, which protects the promoter, and attached to the private placement memorandum, which is called a PPM. You have drafted, and I've drafted, the limited liability company component parts, which will be exhibits to the PPM, which is the LLC filing, the operating agreement, the subscription agreement, and the investor questionnaire, and the manager questionnaire for federal filings. So when all those are created, and parenthetically, I have a client that is killing five birds with one stone, a slate of movies, six projects under one PPM. And LLCs, they can now advertise and market and solicit all six of them at one time.
How smart of him, under one set of documents.
Right.
Wonderful. Okay, so he's very smart. That's the way to go, depending upon what the investors pick up as the most profitable in their minds, and make that movie first, huh?
Right. And what people should understand, and I go to L.A. every 6 or 8 weeks, and I have a lot of clients there, and I'm going to be there if anyone wants to talk to me on September 29th and the 30th, but I'm there every 6 to 8 weeks. They've got lawyers that don't necessarily want to educate them. And, Carol, I know you are great about this. And I've been going since October 2004 all around the country talking about the federal incentives under 181.
Sorry to interrupt, but is that still a possibility? Do you think they might resurrect that, Corky?
In fact, it's presented to the Senate next week. It's part of an extender act, and if the Senate approves it, it goes to the House. So, yes, there is a good possibility by the end of this year it's going to be reinstated.
Oh, that would make filmmakers so happy, because then they would have the write-off possibility as well as online marketing. That could be a boon to film production in America.
It would be great. It would be great. And I parenthetically tell people, and this could be sort of mean, if you have a lawyer and or an accountant and they know you're in the film or television industry and you know nothing about the Jumpstart Act or Section 181 since October of 2004, then you should fire your lawyer and fire your accountant. I don't care who you hire, but they have been no value to you because the 181 was the goose that laid the golden egg.
Absolutely right. And you knew more about it than any other person in the country, I believe.
Yes, and I helped write the IRS rules for it, too.
Great. Oh, great. Okay, well, to get back on track, where we are now is that the SEC said they were going to have some new restrictions and laws and clarification out in July. Have they done that?
No, they're not supposed to do it by the end of this month, so we will wait. But most of those rules will be for the crowdfunding as to who's authorized by them to accept money under the crowdfunding part of it. And for the new business part, they're going to provide some due diligence requirements for people that are getting money under the New Business Act to verify or do due diligence on whether their investors are accredited or not. Because remember, it only goes for accredited investors. And my investor questionnaire that's attached is something that the SEC is probably going to say is okay. Because I've been doing this forever.
Okay. Well, could explain for us the difference between accredited and non-accredited, please.
To be an accredited investor, from an individual standpoint, I'm not going to talk about how companies can be accredited. From an individual, if you have earned $250,000 for the 2 years before your investment and expect to earn $250,000 for the current year, then you are accredited. If you have a joint tax return, it's $300,000. You're accredited. Or if you have $1 million of net assets, excluding your home, you're accredited.
Okay. And if you don't hit those requirements, then you're unaccredited.
Right. If you don't qualify for either of those two, not both, but either of those two, then yes, you are unaccredited.
Corky, will it be the filmmaker's responsibility to make sure the investors are accredited?
No, there's going to be some requirement in a rule that will probably come out that will talk about what is the minimum due diligence the filmmaker has to do. And I am suggesting to you, I don't think it's any more or will be any more than the investor questionnaire that I already provide.
Okay, good.
What about, I know that people tell me, I'm going to go to LegalZoom and get a copy of a PPM and just copy that. And so I say, I don't think you should, but give me a good reason from an attorney how it can not be beneficial to them.
Okay. That's a very good question, Carol. People have called me, and they call me from time to time. I have already the PP, the private placement memorandum, and the LLC documents, and I said to them, who drafted it? Oh, I got it from somebody else, and I myself fixed it up, and I said, are you a lawyer? No, I'm number one. Then they say, oh, but I got it from LegalZoom, and I said two things that you have to understand. No lawyer is going to be there to vouch for the efficacy or the legality of what you got from LegalZoom because it's a company. There's no malpractice if there's a screw-up. And no lawyer is going to be able to say it's his or her or their document because they don't do that. So if an investor calls you up and says, I'd like to speak to the lawyer that drafted it, you're going to have to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. It's LegalZoom.
Right. And when they're interested in putting $50,000, they may just hang up on you.
Yeah, okay, so it's something that, and again, if people have no money to make sure they're protected, then they're hurting themselves. I remember a seminar I did in Los Angeles a couple years ago where someone stands up and says, I won't pay a lawyer the money to draft things because I've got only a $200,000 or $300,000 budget and the lawyer's going to charge me a lot of money to do all this stuff to protect me. And I don't need protection. It's my mother, it's my grandmother, it's my brothers, it's my sisters, and all that.
Right.
She asked that question. Before I could even answer that, someone stands up and says, lady, you're crazy. I thought that was true, too, until my mother sued me on the investment, and I would never do a film without the protection because I got sued.
Well said. My gosh. Well, that reminds me of the chain of title story you tell sometimes in your seminars. Tell us about the person who called you and said they were having trouble getting the chain of title to sell their film.
Well, it was not. There are a lot of issues. I don't think filmmakers pay enough attention to chain of title and chain of documents because if they don't have a perfect chain showing the ownership,
Yes.
From inception through copyright to transfer, and they don't have the right documents for their film, they're not going to get errors and omission insurance, and they're not going to get production insurance. They're just not going to. And they're not going to get distribution. So having said that, I had someone that called me up and said, I'd like you to help me. I can't get errors and omission or production insurance. I didn't get, but I can't get errors and omission, and my distributor won't allow me to distribute it without it. And I said, well, why can't you get it? And that person said to me, I have no agreement. I said, what do you mean you have no agreement? The writer, you have no literary purchase agreement? No. No actor agreements, no location agreements, no director agreement, no producer. No, it's my brother, it's my cousin, it's the same family story. I didn't need any agreements. And I said to him, why do you think they wouldn't give you any insurance? So he said to me, will you draft those for me? And I said to them, I will not backdate any document. I will send you forms. You'll pay me for the forms. I'll send you the agreements. You put any dates you want, and here they are. I got them. He put whatever dates. He went to insurance. He now got E&O insurance.
Oh, my gosh, what filmmakers go through. Getting every piece of paper as you go along is critical to the film.
Right.
Yes, and it's so critical for every aspect of business that you do when it comes to saving every document, every receipt, everything. I am curious about one thing, though, and when it comes to budgeting for legal fees, how much should a filmmaker budget for? Is it more or less than before the law?
Well, you mean the legal work on a film when they do the budget, what the line item for a film should be? For legal work?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, it shouldn't be any less than $25,000, and it's typically between $25,000
and $40,000. And so tell us what that covers.
That covers every negotiation, every written contract for the film. It covers distribution agreements, including foreign and domestic. So it covers everything.
So it's from the very beginning, every person you bring on board for the film, there is a contract for them, and you stay with the filmmaker until they get their distribution contract signed, right?
Right. So, but I want to tell both of you, before we're done, which I know we have a couple minutes left, people can contact me at, I'll give you a phone number, and I'll give you an email.
I have that as well, Corky. I'll be sharing that at the very end, and we have 2 minutes left, so I'll be sure and get that in as well.
Okay, so I don't have to state it then. Okay, go ahead.
Well, we just want you to tell us what you think is really important for filmmakers to do right now if they are interested in using these new laws. First thing is to get a hold of an attorney who understands it and get their forms, their paperwork ready. Can they start in 2012, or do they have to wait till 2013?
No, they can start at any point in time.
Great. So they could start this year.
Yeah, under the Jumpstart Act, it took effect on April 5th, 2012.
So it's all clear, ready to go. They just have to figure out how to do the paperwork and be guided through this new process, right?
Yes, that's correct. And they will also be on my radar and my database for any updates on the extension of 181.
Oh, that's so important, Corky. So you'll keep us all updated on that so we can figure out if next year is going to be a growth year for us in the film industry. That'd be wonderful. Tell us the most asked question that you, if you can.
And we have 30 seconds left.
Okay.
Okay, Claire, do you want to give my contact information?
Yes, let me go ahead and make sure we get that in. You can reach Corky Kessler through his email address, kessler@dlec.com. His direct line is 312-853-8448. His cell number is 312-925-2110. And also, just remember, he has plenty of events he'll be at. Be sure and visit his website. You can get more information there. Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to the Art of Film Funding. Our website is fromtheheartproductions.com. And we are so glad you joined us, Corky. Carol and I want to thank everyone for tuning in as well.
Yeah, and quickly, if you want me to be back on and give a report after the Toronto Film Festival, just let me know.
Thank you. We will. Thank you, Corky.
Okay, thanks.